Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Cliff Clendenin. Cliff is the owner of Clendenin Cider Works, located just north of 101 at the 12th Street intersection in Fortuna. Cliff, your family goes way back in Humboldt County history. How far back does it go?
A ways. I'm actually the fourth generation that's been in Humboldt County. My son Drew is the fifth. My grandfather came around the horn from New Brunswick, Canada, in utero, and was born in Eureka and started
from there. What year was that?
That was in about 1860.
1860. Yeah. Wow. Way back to early times here.
Yeah.
And then how long has your family been involved with apples and cider?
So my grandfather bought that farm in Fortuna, pretty much the same 5 acres that exists right now, in 1908. And the deed says for $10 gold coin. I think that might have been a placeholder, but certainly land was cheap then. And there was an existing fully planted apple orchard on those 5 acres. And so he started harvesting apples.
Uh-huh. Did he start just with selling apples at first and then eventually move into the cider business? Or?
Yeah, and that only took about a year. Everything in Humboldt County came in and out of Humboldt Bay via, well, first sailing ship, but at this point in 1908-9, steamship. So he boxed up some apples and hauled them by horse and wagon to the docks in Eureka and sold them on the wholesale market in San Francisco. And a lot of things came and went by Humboldt Bay and passengers, too. And so after a few days, they sent word that his apples had spoiled, so they couldn't pay him. So he got on the next steamship and went down to the guy's warehouse and found his apples in perfect shape and decided, no, this probably isn't going to work. So he bought a cider press and started making cider.
Oh, okay. So your family's been pressing cider for a really long time.
So this would be our 107th season coming up.
Wow. When it started out, it sounds like it was probably pretty mechanical, or was it already
The first press he had was basically a screw-type press, similar to the little home presses you can get. Grind up the apples and put them in a basket and then squeeze them with a screw that comes down vertically on top of the mash. But it was a big version of that. And my dad remembers a real burly farm worker straining at a pole to crush those.
Wow.
And so he had that for about 7 years. And then in 1916, he bought a cider press and had it shipped out from Ohio. And same one we're using today.
Same one you're using today?
Yeah.
Wow. They used to make stuff really sturdy back then.
Oh, yeah. This is like burly cast iron and brass and wood.
So when you were a child growing up in the business, did you have jobs that you had to do out in the orchard or with the...
Yeah, person? So my brother and I picked up windfall apples and in buckets and boxes, and that was one of our jobs. We trapped gophers for 25 cents a piece. Yeah, little things like that. I remember picking up brush during pruning time. And we were kind of incorporated into the scene.
And your son, Drew, who's now involved in the business, did he also grow up with chores that he had to do in the orchards?
Well, since we lived across town and my folks lived in the farmhouse, he didn't kind of, you know, flow into that as easily as I did just since I was there growing up. But he did some things.
How large is your orchard?
It's 5 acres. And even though it even predates the railroad and it predates the freeway, which was built in 60 and 61, everything kind of just has grown around it. Fortuna's kind of on both sides of it now, and we were just kind of out in the country when I was a kid growing up.
Yeah. What varieties do you grow out there?
Well, there's some very old varieties, Smith Cider, Stark, Minkler, that are actually, we believe, original trees from the very earliest planting in 1869. So we still use those, blend those. We feel like those have some nice flavors for our fresh apple cider. But then for market apples, we've planted a lot of other things. Johnna Gold, Ida Red. There was kind of a wave of planting that my dad did after World War II, which was what was available at the time, Red Delicious, Golden Delicious, Pippins. And then, so we've kind of moved on. Still have some of those, but have planted other varieties as well.
Do you find that there are apples that are really suited to cider that are maybe different than eating apples?
Well, there's true, like, English-style hard cider They have some very specific blends of classes of apples called bitter sharps and different things that they blend very very meticulously. Ours is basically tart eating varieties that we're blending for fresh apple cider. So we're most of our apples we're harvesting, sorting out the number ones for table grade, and then the small apples and misshapen make just great cider.
Do you do propagation of some of your trees there? Do you do grafting and that sort of thing?
Sometimes we do, especially if it's a variety that we can't source from a nursery. If we can get the rootstock and the scion wood or the top stock that we like from a nursery, that comes as a 2-year-old tree that's like 3/4 inch caliper, and it's just ready to go. And that's a pretty fast way to get things planted. But if we can't find that, we'll save our own cutting wood, buy some rootstock, do the graft, grow them up. But that takes a couple of years to do all that. It's a lot of work.
How long do apple trees live?
Well, I think there's some back east that are 300 years old, and ours are our oldest ones that are around the buildings. They're kind of a shadow of their former self, but 140 years old. We have some that are from the original planting that we believe planted in 1869.
Now, I noticed when you drive by your orchard that the trees are not like giant, I guess, standard-sized trees, that you try to prune them so that they're probably easier to pick and that they get a lot of good light and air?
Yes. The very original planting was planted 27 feet by 27 feet on a grid, and those were standard trees. They grew really large, as much as 30 feet or more, and after World War II, when my dad came back and started really working the farm and kind of pruning things up, some of the trees had actually grown together, the canopies. It was almost like a jungle. You could actually walk out of one tree into the next one. And so he really worked to bring those down. And then he started planting in probably by the mid-70s, dwarf trees. That was kind of the new thing at the time. And we've continued to do pretty much only that. And those are 9 feet in the row, and then the row is 16 feet apart, just room enough to get a tractor through. And they're almost like hedgerows. And you can do most of the work with an 8 and a 10-foot ladder on those. So it's much quicker, safer, and more productive.
Now, one of the things that you have started, I guess, more recently is the Apple Harvest Festival. But that's been going on for a while now. How long has that been going on?
Well, we did in 1984, it was the 75th anniversary of our business. So we did a little 75th anniversary party, and we had donut holes and cups of cider, and, you know, people showed up, and it was really fun.
Uh-huh.
And
we
had a little string band out front. And then the year after that, I was kind of brainstorming with my mom, and I said, we can't really have a 76th anniversary party. That would just seem kind of lame. So So she came up with the idea of, well, why don't we call it the Apple Harvest Festival? And so the first year was 85, so whatever that comes to now, we're in the 30s.
Yeah.
And, it's always the first Saturday, and to a certain extent, to a little lesser extent, Sunday, first Saturday in October.
Uh-huh.
So that's the 7th and 8th this year.
Okay, so coming up in October.
Yes.
This is Jennifer Bell, and I've had the pleasure of talking with Cliff Clendenin from Clendenin Cider Works. Thank you so much, Cliff.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jennifer.
And the cakes, hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought.